I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed through the sunshine and the rain, even sorrow and pain. Jesus still is my comfort and guide, and His love comforts me, and His grace has set me free. And someday I shall stand by His side. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I have shoes on my feet. I have plenty to eat, and a home up in heaven by and by. Brothers and sisters on this earth, they are mine by my new birth, and we'll share in that home beyond the sky. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. And we are blessed. We are a blessed people tonight.
Yes, we are.
A chosen, a royal priesthood.
Holy nation.
I want you to understand we have something to be excited about. We have something to shout about. We have something to be thankful about. And that's because we have something that we don't deserve. I'm telling you, friends, it's good. It's good today. I was reading something and the brother kind of touched on it a little bit. You know, wait till you get home. There's so many distractions in the world today. People are putting things off and putting it off.
Help
me,
God.
I read something where I think it was a father and son probably. They were out and they'd went fishing. And they were probably getting to where they were getting some bites. And so all of their attention was on the fishing part. They had lost sight of the fact that they were drifting down current.
Lord, help him, God.
And they kept drifting. And they kept looking at the water, trying to catch the fish. And before you knew it, there was a waterfall.
Lord, help him.
And whenever they finally realized, hey, we're in danger here, it was too late. The current had them and was dragging them over. You see, that's what the devil likes to do to you. You see, he wants you to understand, and he uses these other distractions.
Yes, he does.
He'll admit to you and say, yes, you need to do this. Just not now. Just not now. You've got your whole life ahead of you. You don't need to do it now. You need to enjoy this. You need to enjoy that. What is your neighbor going to think of you? What is your parents or your children? You won't be able to go and do these things if you do it right now. Put it off just a little while longer. It's the oldest trick that the devil will use. And today he's got a lot of playthings out there. All kinds of things out there to distract you from what's truly important. I was reading in the Bible where it teaches me that man has one duty. One duty. He doesn't have 10 things to do, brother. Got one duty. And that sole duty is to fear God, to serve Him, to give Him glory. That's the whole duty of man. But yet, we want to do this, and we want to do that, and we want to do all these other things before we want to do that. I want you to understand, friends, you're not promised anything. You've got this time right now. I also read something where it's something about the potential of people. And I look back through my life, and I think me and the brother over here was talking about it a little bit. You know, all the potential. When you look back when I was a little boy, I had all kinds of potential.
Lord help.
And now I look back at my life, Brother Junior, I look back and, you know, I fell short on so many things. I could have achieved, I'm talking worldly, natural things. I could have done a whole lot more. But you know, that's just natural stuff. I look back on my spiritual walk and I said, boy, I could have came so much earlier. I could have, even in my Christian walk, I could have read a whole lot more. I could have visited a whole lot more. I fall short on a daily basis. I need Him no more now than what I did yesterday. I want you to understand, friends, and we also, we talked about, we're to strive to be perfect. We're to strive for it. But I want you to understand, friends, that perfection is only attained in Jesus Christ. You will never be good enough to go to heaven. I will never be good enough to go to heaven. Oh, but in Christ Jesus, I have a home. I'm so thankful. I am a blessed person today. And I want you to know you are too. You're blessed because Jesus came down and put on this flesh. And He walked of a walk that we couldn't walk. He told the truth because He was the truth. He is the truth today. And friends, He went to the cross. He took those stripes just for you. Friends, He took that crown of thorns just for you. Friends, He walked up Calvary carrying His cross just for you. I want you to know today that you see, He took those nails. He done it just for you. Friends, you're a blessed person today because there was a time when you had no way. You would have been lost, ruined, and undone without any hope, without any chance. Oh, but Jesus has given you hope. Jesus has given you a way. Friends, you see, you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. Friends, I got news for you. You can let it all go tonight. You can have, the Bible teaches me that we will have life.
Yes, sir.
And we'll have it more abundantly. And you can have it right here. You don't have to wait. You don't have to put it off. I want you to ask, if you're here today and you don't have that relationship, if you're saying, yeah, but I have to do this, I can't do that, I want you to do something. Find somebody that you've got a little confidence in. Somebody that you've seen walk, a Christian walk, or one of these brothers or sisters up here, and ask them if they would give up what they got. I want you to understand today, I don't believe you will find the one that will say, I wish I'd have come a little later.
No.
I wish I would have put it off and enjoyed the things of the world a little longer. I want you to understand, the natural mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The natural does not like the spiritual. But whenever you get that birth, whenever that birth happens, you are made a new creature. The things that I used to love, I despise now. You don't have to tell me not to go and do those things. I don't want to go do them. I've got a new walk. I've got a new love. I want to drive for 2 hours to come up here and tell people about Jesus. This is not a have to. This is not something, Brother Jimmy, that we have to do, is it? It's something we love to do. You can see we're not doing it for money. We're not doing it for a big name. We're doing it because we love the Lord and we're thankful for what He's done. And friends, we love you. We want you to have what we have. And you can have it. You can have everything. You can have it in Jesus. You see, but these distractions that have gone out, they're causing men and women to lose sight of what is truly important in life. You see, I see, and that's how it starts. You look at alcohol and drugs. Oh, it's killing the young people of today as well as the old. I want you to see, and you see, when people first take that first drink, you see, they don't ever think, well, I'm gonna become an alcoholic, and I'm gonna lose my family, and I'm gonna lose everything that I've worked for over a bottle. They never see it that way.
No,
it's always they're in control. They'll do it when they want to do it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they'll do it again and again and again. It reminds me of something a guy told me one time. He said, you know, he says, I've heard all this, and of course he was joking when he said, he says, I've heard all this about them saying that tobacco is addicting. He says, I've been smoking for 30 years and I ain't addicted to it yet. I want you to understand that's the mind of some people. Now he was joking when he said it, but that is the mindset.
Yeah,
people think, oh, I can lay this down at any time. But I want you to understand, friends, whenever these things, the world gets a hold of you, you can't just do it on your own.
No.
You have to have somebody to help you. You have to do it. I want you to know, for 27 years, I was addicted to tobacco. I chewed tobacco and I look at it. And you know, I can look at it now and I can see how disgusting it is.
Yeah.
And I know some of you probably in here chew, but I used to. But I mean, I look at it now. How could I have done that? But for 27 years, it controlled my life. It dictated where I went. It dictated how long I stayed there. I had to buy a surplus of it whenever I traveled. Had to make sure I had something to spit in. If something was going to go on for 3 hours, I can't go 3 hours without it. You see, I want you to understand, that's the way it is. It had a hold on me.
Yeah.
I tried to lay it down and I couldn't. But I want you to know, you see, friends, there was a time when I was reading and it said that Paul was talking about how he didn't want to be a slave to these things.
Right.
And I said, Lord, I don't want to be a slave to these things. Will you help me? Lord, Father, help me to get rid of it.
Amen.
And I want you to know, I laid it down.
Amen.
It was hard. It was not easy. But I laid it down. The Lord was able to do it. You've got people out there today, you see, and they're doing it with alcohol. It's just a drink. There's nothing wrong with social drinking. You'll hear it all over the place. There's nothing wrong with having a little wine with your meal. There's nothing wrong with drinking a beer every now and then. I want you to say, I'm not going to sit here and judge you on that matter. I'm going to say this. What does it lead to? It leads and leads and leads to where finally you'll lose your job to get the bottle. You see, that's a distraction of the world. That's the world out there. I want you to understand there is freedom in Jesus. You see, today people are robbing and stealing off their parents, off their children to get a pill. You see, I want you to understand. And then you'll have people that'll come to church and they'll come once every 2 or 3 weeks. They'll show up if it starts at 6:30. They'll show up at 7:15. They'll leave at 7:45. They got things to do. The Bible teaches me, and again, I'm not trying to judge somebody. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. Maybe a lot of times I preach to myself. I'll be honest to you. I do. I'm that way. The Lord lets me understand, son, I'm giving you this message, but you better pay attention.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does you brothers that way, but that's the way he does me sometimes. And I want you to understand, you see, the Bible teaches me that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after Him. You see, those people that are wanting drugs, they diligently seek after it. They don't let somebody saying no stop them. They get out and they go and they fight for it. They rob, they steal, they'll lie to you. They'll do whatever it takes to get that pill. They're diligently seeking it. Are you diligently seeking God today? Are you forsaking everything to get out to the house of the Lord? Are you picking up His Word and say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about what somebody thinks. I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to talk to Him today in front of... It doesn't matter if somebody sees me get on my knees. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to my Father. I want you to understand, friends, He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek after Him. Are you diligently seeking today? You see, a lot of people I know, they're married to their work. And work comes first. And they'll go to work before they'll do anything. They'll go to work before they'll study the Bible. They'll go to work before they go to church. They'll go to work before they spend time with their families. It's all about work. And I want you to understand, I'm not knocking you if you work, if you work long hours. We have to do those things sometimes. You can work long hours, you can work weekends, and you can still put God first. You can still do that. I want you to understand. I read in the Bible where one time Jesus was at this house, and He was telling everybody, He was talking to them. And there was a woman at Jesus' feet listening to every word He said. And there was another woman who was in the back, and she was fixing the food and bringing it out. And finally she got a little upset. She said, why am I doing all this? Why is she having getting to sit here? And Jesus told her. He said, Martha, Martha, there is one thing that is needful. And it's not going to be taken away from her. I want you to understand today, friends, you need one thing today. You don't need a higher paying job. It might be nice, but you don't need it. You don't need a better clothes or a better car. You don't need an addition to your house. You don't need all of these things. What you need is Jesus. And the Bible teaches me that whenever she was choosing Jesus, Jesus told something to her, didn't He? He said, she has chosen the good part. And friends, when you choose the good part, it will not be denied. It will not be removed from you. What part are you choosing today? That's the question I want to ask you. Are you diligently seeking Him? What are you choosing? You see, we live in a world where all the time, you see, some people is going to take away, and I hope you get the true message. Some people are going to say, well, I heard him preach about a little bit about tobacco and about drugs and about alcohol. Well, I don't do those things, so I'm okay. I'm all right. Or maybe I drink a little too much, so I'm going to put that away and I'll be just fine. You see, we live in a world where if you get a headache, somebody will give you a couple of aspirin and then the headache goes away and you're cured. But I want you to understand, that headache is often just a symptom of a bigger problem. That's what it is. We like to cure symptoms and think we're good doctors. I want you to understand today, friends, that if you've got a headache, it's probably because you have another problem causing that headache. And maybe you might can cure that symptom, but the problem doesn't go away. And we got people out here today, and I know sometimes it's being preached, and sometimes that's what people are taking from it. I want you to understand today. You see, I'm wanting to preach a cure for you today. You see, drinking too much or out partying all night or doing drugs or whatever it is, committing adultery, all these things, I want you to understand, friends, if you stop doing those things, that don't mean you're going to heaven. I want to preach to you today a cure. We don't want to just cure the symptoms. We want to cure the problem. The problem has always been sin. Just like the brother said in the beginning, we got something from the garden, didn't we? It came all the way down through and we got it too, and that's sin. I want you to understand Jesus came and He defeated it. And He kept it right here in the flesh. It's condemned right here, but we battle against it daily. But I want you to understand today, you are either serving Christ or you're serving sin. Are you a slave to it today? I want you to understand, friends, there is only one cure for this disease. There is only one cure that will set you free from it. There is only one cure. And it's not to quit doing this. It's not to quit doing that. I'm not saying that you can do those things or you have to stop. I'm saying get the cure. And then everything will be all right.
Yeah, right.
If you get Jesus right down in your heart, He'll guide you and lead you. Like I said, I chewed for 27 years. I was addicted to it.
Amen.
I could not quit it on my own. I tried. But you know, I never really wanted to quit. I never really wanted to. I said I did. When I was paying so much for it, I said, well, I ain't going to pay this. I need to quit. I'm going to quit. There it is. I believe I'll have one more. And then I'll quit. See, I really didn't want to. I was not serious about it. Today we got people that acknowledge God. You acknowledge Him, but you don't really believe Him. I want you to understand, I often use this example. If somebody came in here and said there's a bomb in here and it's going to blow up and we're all going to die, you can believe the report or you can dismiss it. And somebody might say, yeah, it probably will. Let's see where it is. Let's see what's going to happen. You see, they don't really believe. Those that truly believe the message will exit the building.
That's exactly right.
You see, those that truly believe in Christ will do something about it. I think the writer was told that he says, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And we all know you can't work your way into heaven. It can't be done. But I do want you to understand that true belief, true faith, brings forth something. It's not going to just sit idle. You're going to do something. And what does the Bible say you must do? Well, the brother has already told you, you must repent. I want you to understand, if you truly believe that you have sinned against a holy God, if you truly believe that Jesus died on the cross and made the only way for you to be saved, you will do something. You won't put it off. You won't put it off till you get home. You won't put it off till next week. Or you won't put it off to after your shift ends. I want you to understand, when you come to that moment that you truly believe,
you'll begin right there.
You will do something. Because I tell you right now, I would not spend, if I had a choice right now to lay it down and to never be a Christian again, if I had that option, I don't have that option. I don't know about some of y'all, I don't have that option. But if I had that option, you could not pay me $1 million for 1 second without Christ. I want you to understand, people say, I don't believe that. Those of you that have been born again, born of that Spirit, you'll bear witness with me, won't you?
Yes, sir.
I want you to understand, here was Jesus in the garden on His knees praying to the Father, knowing what was going to happen to Him. Now, He felt all that pain. He felt it all. But I want to tell you, you see, He was asking if it be His will to let this cup pass from Him. I want you to imagine this. I want you to understand something and think about this. This is death. Death is a separation from God. That's what death is. When I study the Bible, I find out that's the second death. That's what we don't have to fear. It has no power over us, that second death, because we ain't never going to see it. You see? Because that's an eternal separation from God. You see, naturally so, people die. About 16 years ago, my mother naturally died. She is separated from me, naturally so. I'll never see her again. Naturally, we are separated. That's death. Death in the Bible, it oftentimes, what it's meaning is a separation from God.
Yeah.
You see, when I grew up and I sinned against God, I died. Paul says, I was alive once without the law.
Yeah.
The commandment came, sin revived, and I what?
I died.
We preach an age of accountability. Whenever you come to that age, to know to do good and do it not. Whenever the Lord calls you and you turn your back, you have sinned. You have died. In the garden, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what shall surely happen?
Shall surely die.
See, there's a separation. You see, and that's what death is. Death is a separation from God. That's what it is. Okay? That's why today we can honestly say there are people walking around dead. They don't have life in them. Because Jesus is the life. If you've not been born of that Spirit of God,
you're dead.
You're spiritually dead. Oh, you can be. I've known people all that they say, oh, I'm very spiritual. I'm this. Well, you know, that's by your definition. According to the Word of God, if you don't have not been born of that Spirit, you are spiritually cut off. You don't have heaven. You don't have that freedom we've been preaching about. You don't have that security. You don't have that joy, that peace that we can have even whenever we're ailing, whenever there's problems out there in the world, and we all have them. And whenever those are bearing down on, we have something we can go and get peace and joy from.
There you go, Brother Darrell.
See, we have that. And it never gets old. See, I can buy a new car, and then after a few years, it'll start rattling, it'll start making noises, and then I want another new car. I've never wanted another new Jesus. I've never wanted one. The one I got is just fine. I want you to know. I don't believe you all have either, have you? Have you ever said, you know, Lord, I'm in the Spirit, but I'll give me something else. Let me tell you something. It's new. We're renewed day by day in the Spirit. Never gets old. I want you to understand, friends. This is not something that we, you know, I can't make somebody be a Christian. I can't do that. I want you to understand all the work was done on Calvary.
There you go, Brother Darrell.
All of the work was done right there. He done it for you. But you have to truly believe. And I'm not talking about the acknowledgement. Like I said, you can go in the Bible and you can read where the devils believe. And tremble at His name. But they're not going to go to heaven. That's not the belief I'm talking about. The belief I'm talking about and this Bible's talking about is complete trust in Christ. In the work He done on the cross for you on your behalf. You see, when Jesus was down there praying earnestly for that cup to pass from Him, and then I'll get out of the way.
You're in the right way.
But I want you to get this point. You see, He was going to have to die. He was going to have to lay His life down. He was going to have to take the sin of the world upon Him. Do you know what that meant He was going to have to do? For the briefest of moments. On your behalf. On my behalf. He was going to have to separate Himself from God. He didn't want that. You see, He'd been in heaven. He'd been there all along.
He knew all about
what it was.
He did.
And friends, He was going to look down and He was going to have to, for the briefest of moments. When you take eternity and you think of just a little bit of time like that, in the natural mind we'd say, well, that's not that big of a deal. Again, I come back to the brothers and sisters and say, would you do it for 1 second for $1 million? But He done it for you. Just for the briefest. He didn't want to. Oh, but He wanted the will of the Father to be done. He didn't want to be separated. It's too great. But He had to do it for you. That's love. Let me tell you. And I understand without the spiritual mind, you can't wrap your mind around it. It's just impossible. But I want you to understand, it's the greatest gift ever given to man. The greatest gift has been given to you. Some people are using it. Some people are not. I want you to understand the Bible teaches it's not It's not the hearer that is justified. It's not the hearer. Because we've already heard that everybody's going to hear. Everybody's going to know. He's going to write it down in their hearts. He's going to send a preacher. I even read in the Bible where a donkey one time spoke. Let me tell you, you're going to hear. So it's not just the hearer. But it's the doer that is justified. We got something to do. And I know sometimes we get caught up into you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. I want you to understand. Now, I'm not condoning some of those things. I want you to understand I'm not. I'm saying you've got something to do. And God will take care of you from there. God will take care of you and teach you. And He'll send good preaching brothers to bring you along and to help you in your spiritual walk. He's given you His Word. And like we was talking, it's on DVD and tape and you name it. I mean, like I showed them, I got it on my phone. I mean, it's there. It's available. You can't blame nobody.
No excuse.
I want you to understand. He loves you. He done it all. He paid the price for you. He left a glorious place called heaven. Well, we're striving to go. We want to be there one day, don't we? He left that place. Put on this old flesh. You know, He got out of breath just like we do. He got tired sometimes. But you know what? He pressed on. He wasn't one of these kings that come and set up and build a big mansion and said, okay, here I am. If you want something, here I am, come here. Go out and tell them about me and tell them come here. No, He got out and He went door to door. He saw everybody. He told everybody. And the message is still the same today, as Brother Junior said. You said since 82. Yeah, that means you're getting old, brother. I want you to understand that. I love you, but that's what it means. that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I was still in grade school at that time. But the message has not changed, and it hasn't changed from the beginning. I'm going to leave you with this. I love this. Mark 1:15. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." That's what Jesus said. That's when He started His ministry. Has the gospel changed?
It ain't changed
any. You see, repent. If you look it up, that means a change of mind. That means, in other words, quit trying to do it your way and just give it over to Jesus. Change your mind. Don't try to do it this way and that way. You see, forget about those things and just say, I'm going to give it all to Jesus.
There you go, Brother Darrell.
Jesus is the way. See, you got to think that way. You got to turn it over to Him. You got to believe the report. You see, Jesus, they were looking for a natural king to come and set up a natural kingdom. And He was telling them, the time is fulfilled. I'm here. You don't have to go out looking anywhere else. Here I am. I want you to understand, here He is. He's here. You don't have to go looking up. Friends, He has come. He has died. He has risen. He is on the right hand of the Father. He has sent the Holy Spirit. He has sent preachers. He has sent His Word. He has sent it all. He has sent it here. You have it. What are you going to do with it? I want you to understand this is real. I want you to understand we're not playing a game. Jesus really done these things because there is a real death that is awaiting. That second death, when people are going to hear those words, depart from me, ye that work in it. Think about that. There's going to be people that you talked about being a fireman. There's going to be people that have put out fires and saved people's homes and people that have saved people's lives that are going to hear those words. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because if you don't have Jesus, all of your work is iniquity. It's no good. With anything without Christ is no good. You may think of yourself as being something mighty, something strong, something good. I want you to understand, the Bible says that there's none good except the Father. I want you to understand today, friends, if you don't have Jesus, you've got nothing. According to the Scripture. I want you to know, I one time went by the rules of Darrell. I wrote my own book. And it was fun for a while, but it got me into so much trouble. It didn't give me life. I was lost. It just kept going down that little broad road, and it just kept getting wider and wider. But I had a lot of people there with me saying, yeah, you're right. It makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me, yeah.
Let's go do it. Yeah, let's go. And then the light shined in a dark place. And I want you to understand, Darrell knew what was at stake. He knew. I had a choice to make. I chose Jesus. That's that straight gate. That narrow path. And I want you to understand, it's not a very popular way. The Bible says few they be that find it. Look around. I don't know this community, how much the population is, but I'd say there's a lot more out there than what there is in here. It's not a very popular way. It's not going to get you a lot of money, a lot of notoriety. But what it will get you, it'll get you a home in glory land. Where there are tears, as you said, will be wiped away. And I want you to understand, regardless of what you may think, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. But not everybody's going to enter in. So you're going to do it. Everybody is going to do it.
Amen. We're going to bow.
But if you do it on this side of the grave, there's a reward waiting.
There you go.
And not just that, not as only is there a reward waiting, there's a reward to receive right here. I'm a happy person. I want you to know that. I think sometimes, especially in the regular Baptist, we give off a wrong light. Sometimes we walk around with a frown on our face.
Hey,
sometimes.
No, don't do that.
I'm a happy person.
There's joy in service.
I'm happy. I'm telling you. If I had the money of Bill Gates or whoever, if I had all the money that you can imagine, I couldn't imagine me being anywhere else right now and being any more happier. I'm telling you. And I know people, some people look and say, well, that's just words. Yeah, if you really had it. Let me tell you, I don't really desire it. We live in a land where if you truly desire it, you can go out there and you can try to obtain it. You sure can. I didn't have much growing up. I got a lot more than what my parents had.
Yeah.
I do. I'm blessed in that. But you know what? I squander a whole lot more than my parents ever did too.
Yeah.
I sure do.
Ain't that the truth?
But I want you to understand something. I've got something that's much more valuable. It doesn't diminish right now. If you got money in the stock market, one day you're rich, one day you're broke.
Yeah.
If you invest in heaven, it's nothing but gain. Nothing but gain.
Lay your treasures up in
heaven. Lay them there. That's right. Put your treasures where no rust, nobody can steal. Put them there. I love you. I want you to know that. God loves you. He gave you an opportunity to go to heaven. Come go with us. I promise you, you'll never be dissatisfied turning to the Lord. I love you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for your attention. I hope and pray that the Lord blessed those words and somebody got something out of it. I'm thankful to be here. God bless you.